Hi, this is Bass McCarty. Welcome to your audio tape class of the horse stance. What is the horse stance? It's an exercise from both Tai Chi and Qigong exercises in the Chinese tradition. The horse stance is simply standing in this Qigong posture and generating energy. Qigong means energy exercise. Qi meaning energy, and Kung, exercise. I learned these principles, these exercises, almost 20 years ago from a student of Abraham Lu, who was a primary student of Qin Manqing, who brought the Chinese Tai Chi short form Yang style into America. And I've used it in my life almost daily since, all the principles. And I love to use it and to show people because it can ground us, it can balance us, it can generate energy. If we have too much or too little energy, it can enliven us and generate the chi. Too much energy, it can calm and ground and balance. This goes for not only physical, but also emotional energy. So anytime that we are upset, sad, depressed, angry, we can stand in the horse stance and breathe and ground, and suddenly it becomes balanced. I like the analogy of a lightning rod that can ground energy. It can ground the lightning energy so it doesn't burn up the house. What it does is, if the lightning strikes the lightning rod on top of the house, it can take it and generate it, send it right into the earth, which neutralizes it and makes it safe there. So that way it bypasses the house. The earth is for grounding and neutralizing. And so the same thing can happen if we feel like our house might burn up with emotions or too much physical energy or not enough. We can reach that balance with the Qigong. By standing in the horse stance posture, we can breathe into our center, connect with the earth through our feet, and calm and balance any energy, even if it's a painful emotional energy. And I've done it a million times. I know it works. And I've taught it to many, many students and clients. Two ways to ground or to handle stress in the human body is by grounding and breathing. Grounding and breathing is the way to handle stress in the human body. And the horse stance combines both of those. Because when we bend our knees and open our legs wide, we're lowering our center of gravity, which is in our pelvis. We're lowering that closer to the ground. And so that's grounding. You know, we lower, get closer to the ground, we connect more with the ground through our feet and legs in certain ways. And secondly, we breathe into our center, into our low belly. So we use both of these principles in the Qigong exercise. And did you know that you cannot be stressed and breathe deeply at the same time? That is a scientific fact from research. And so it's always a choice. We can be stressed or we can breathe deeply if we remember to choose which we want. What would you say the ultimate therapist would be? Would it be one that could be instant when you need him? And that you don't have to make an appointment and is free and doesn't cost anything? That's what breathing is. You have all that in breathing. Reduce stress. Make a choice. So that's what you get with this tape and with learning the horse stance. You get stress reduction, physical and emotional level, and your life becomes more functional. You can use it when you're stressed, but I really recommend to use it as a preventative maintenance in your life, just to have the fullest and most wonderful life that you can. By the way, my Tai Chi teacher's teacher, Abraham Lu, at 84, last I heard, he was rollerblading and playing tennis daily. So I want to be like that too. This tape has two parts. The first part is we're going to go through the horse stance, step by step. I have a 9-point checklist to teach and learn very simply and easily this horse stance, which I recommend doing, 5-10 minutes a day. It would be wonderful. And you can do it a couple times a day too, even while doing other things, talking on the phone or even you know, waiting in line at a grocery store, even while watching TV. The second part of this tape is three exercise warm-ups that you can do, taking the horse stance a little bit further. So, the first part, the horse stance itself, 9-point checklist. I divided those into three sections. The first section has three that involve feet and legs. The second section has three that involve the pelvis and the belly. And the third section has three that involves the back and the head. So we start with our feet. The first three points on our 9-point checklist, the first three have to do with the feet and the legs. So look down at your feet. Place your feet 2 of your foot lengths apart. In other words, if you shift your weight to your left foot and you put your right foot at a perpendicular angle to it, you measure 1 foot away and move it again and measure another foot away, that's 2 of your foot lengths. Then put your right foot to the outside of those 2 measurements so that your toes are both facing straight ahead, but your feet are 2 of your foot lengths apart. Or another way to say it is under your shoulders, a shoulder width apart. The second point to check is that the outsides of your feet are straight ahead. For example, if you were standing on a tiled floor and you were lining up the outsides of your feet with a tile, the outsides of your feet would be parallel to the forward lines on a tiled floor. And that will let you stand, it'll feel like you're a little bit pigeon-toed. Another way to describe it is if you put a ruler along the outside of the two outsides of your feet, the outside of your left foot and your right foot, those two rulers would be pointing straight ahead. They wouldn't be angling out like our feet usually are, but those two rulers would be pointing straight ahead. They would be parallel to each other. So that is standing with the outsides of your feet straight ahead. You might feel a little pigeon-toed, but after you try it for a while and actually even stand this way more, you might feel like it's very stable and very natural. The reason is because our feet have 3 points of balance on it, on them. And that creates a tripod. There is our heel. And then in the balls of their feet, there's an inner one and an outer one. So when our feet are turned out, we are only relying on 2 of those 3 parts of the tripod. We're relying on the heel and the inner ball of the foot point. The outer one doesn't get used for balance. But when we bring our feet straight ahead, that brings the outer point, the outer ball of the ball of the foot outer point into play as well. So now we have 3 points of balance that we are distributing our weight equally on. So we're more stable. We have more surface area to stand on when we call into play that outer point that's on the outer ball of the foot area. So it's much more stable, connected way to stand. And I call that, with the, you know, the feet, the outsides of the feet straight ahead, and I call that the foot being straight ahead. So that's our second point to check on this, our 9-point checklist. The third point is our knees. We want our knees to bend as far forward as our toes, so that if there is a wall in front of you, your toes would touch the wall and your knees would touch the wall. You can sometimes see this in a mirror if you stand in front of a full-length mirror and look sideways. You can see if your knees are as far forward as your toes are. Another way is to stand up against a wall and touch your toes to the wall and bend your knees. And then you can let your knees touch the wall, then you know how far your knees have to go forward to achieve that. There's another part to the knees as well, that the knees are as wide as your toes. And that would mean if you were, if a drop of water fell off your knee, it would run down and touch your toe. And if you looked in a full-length mirror head-on, your low legs would look vertical. Or if you're doing this with a partner or a friend, do it in front of each other and help to spot each other and check. Are your low legs vertical? Widen your knees more then. What that looks like to you standing is that you can see your toes between your knees, but you want your low leg to be vertical. So we just did the 3 points, the first 3 points of our 9-point checklist for the horse stance. Remember what they were? Your feet are 2 foot lengths apart. Second, your outsides of your feet are straight ahead. Third, your knees are over your toes. That means as far forward as your toes and as wide as your toes. Why? Because that opens up the floor of the pelvis. Then that assists in grounding. The floor of the pelvis is also the site of the first chakra or energy center, which lies between our genitals and our anus. The floor of the pelvis is like a sling of muscular floor or support that includes the ureteral sphincter and the anal sphincter. There are 7 energy centers in the body that end, the 7th is at the top of the head, or the crown chakra, or energy center. So the one that we're talking about now is the floor of the pelvis, the first chakra. And when we open our knees that wide, it opens this area and gives it an opportunity to relax. There are 3 receptors of the Earth's electromagnetic energy. The Earth has this energy. You can actually measure it with what they develop. They call them chi meters. And you can measure this energy. It nourishes us and feeds us. We can feel this energy through 3 receptors in our body. 2 are in our feet, and they are near the balls of our feet in the middle of that area, and it's a kidney 1 acupuncture point. The kidney is about rooting and grounding in Chinese medicine, which the Chinese were the original body-mind medicine people. So the kidney, they know, is about rooting, grounding, sort of trust that you're going to get all your needs met, life is going to be there for you. And it's through this point that we connect with Earth, Mother Earth. Now there's a security in connecting with Mother, because she's the source of life. Mother Earth. And the feet were made to connect with Mother Earth. Gravity sticks us to Mother Earth. And it's from there that really all of our food comes from, even our shelter and every single thing we need originally came from the Earth. So Mother to us is a source of life. And with our feet we connect to Mother Earth through those 2 points. There's a 3rd way that the body receives electromagnetic energy, and that's through the perineum, the first chakra, that floor of the pelvis again. And so we want that to be nice and open and relaxed. You can tighten it up as you're standing there in your exercise stance. You can tighten the floor of the pelvis like you're trying to hold to keep from going to the bathroom. And you may generate in yourself a feeling of anxiety. Because body-mind theory says that when you hold tension in a certain part of the body, you can create anxiety in your body-mind, which is your emotions and your mental state, too. So what you do with your body can affect your body-mind. That's why the horse stance works so well, to balance people. Body-mind-wise, emotionally, too. So you can tighten up this area and create a feeling of anxiety, and you can drop and relax this area and create a feeling of openness. You can experience this right now in what we call the elevator exercise. I learned some of these in childbirth classes. This exercise describes the floor of the pelvis, these muscles, as like an elevator. And they say, we can say, start on the first floor of the elevator. Now take the elevator up to the 2nd floor, and up to the 3rd floor, and all the way up to the 4th floor, the top, and hold that up as high as you can, with the sphincter muscles as drawn as tightly and as high as you can. And feel how that feels. Now we're going to relax by going back down to floor 3, and then the 2nd floor, and then back down to the 1st floor where we started. But now we're going to relax even more than that and let it drop all the way down to the basement. The very, very, very most relaxed that the floor of your pelvis can be. You see the difference between a relaxed floor of the pelvis and one that's tight and drawn up? When I first began Tai Chi, my teacher says, have a squishy tushy. You have a relaxed floor of the pelvis. Relax your muscles, your sphincter muscles. And that's when I discovered at age 35 that I've been holding those tight all my life when I stood. And I believe it was habit from early potty training. Well, I was generating some level of tension and anxiety in my body all that time. It took me 2 years before I would check those muscles whenever I was standing in line at the grocery store, the bank, or in the shower or something. I'd just check them and see, are they tight? Are they relaxed? They were always tight, so I'd relax unconsciously, check them later, always tight. It took me 2 years of practicing that to undo my body, mind, my subconscious programming to always hold on and hold those tight, maybe to be safe or something. After 2 years, I would check them and they'd already be relaxed. I believe it's made a big difference in my life, in my presence, in my connection here. People say that I seem calm and, you know, relaxed to be around, and I feel different. So that's one of our great secrets to this, the relaxing the floor of the pelvis. Another one is breathing into our low belly. And many times when we breathe, we breathe just into our chest, like a shallow half breathing. We might not get it all the way down into our belly. Why? Because we hold tension there too. So that can certainly create anxiety in the person, couldn't it? Holding the floor of the pelvis and holding, you know, tension in the low belly does not allow the breath to get all the way down. And remember that research, scientific research has shown that we cannot breathe deeply and be stressed at the same time. So if we're holding tension like a vice in our belly and we don't allow it to, you know, expand when we inhale, then we cannot breathe deeply, and then we cannot truly relax all the way. So how about that? Okay, grounding and breathing. That's why this is such a powerful core exercise for body mind. So try breathing into your low belly. Try, you know, after you relax the floor of the pelvis, try breathing into your belly. And let it fill it, let it expand when you inhale. It should be like when you take an inhale that you're breathing into a tube that blows up and expands up like a balloon that's in your low belly. You could place your hand on your low belly, perhaps your stomach, your navel, and the rest of your hand holding your low belly below your navel. By the way, this is the site of your second chakra or energy center. This floats in the middle of the pelvis, 3 inches below your belly button. This is where we want to breathe when we're doing the Tai Chi and Qigong exercises, when we're doing this horse stance. So this teaches us to breathe into our low belly. This exercise says that correct breathing is when you inhale, your low belly expands, like you're blowing up a little balloon that's in there. If you lay your hand here, you can imagine that there's a little balloon behind your hand. When you inhale, you blow up that balloon, which makes your hand go out. We don't have lungs in our low belly, but our lungs can displace our viscera and make them go out. So when we're breathing completely into our lungs, all the way to the bottom of our lungs, it will displace our viscera and it'll look like we're breathing into our low belly. And that's what babies do. They know how to do that. They haven't been, you know, learned to suck their breath in and look skinny and, you know, hold tension and worry in their belly. You know, if you especially watch the baby sleep in their little belly, just rise up and down. That's a good, relaxed belly. So we're actually into the second set of threes. We're now into, of our 9-point checklist for the horse stance, we're now into numbers 4, 5, and 6. And number 4, we're going to do first. Number 4 is hold your pelvis level, because that will let you breathe into your belly the best. So hold the pelvis level. What does that mean? It means don't have too much curve in your low back. Most chiropractors will give sit-up exercises to people who have low back pain because they want to strengthen the tummy muscles. They want those to lift up the front of the pelvic bowl, because the back ones have been too active and they're crunching it like a bowstring. create too much curve in the back, the low back. And the front ones have been too inactive, too lax. And they let the front of the pelvis drop down in the front. If you can imagine like a big old salad bowl, it drops down in the front and it tightens up in the back, so the back tilts up and the front tilts down. That's too much curve in your back, also called hyperlordosis or excess curve. And that's a lot, can cause a lot of back pain because we're crunching on the vertebrae and on the nerves that come out between the vertebrae. There's little holes between every one where a nerve root comes out and then travels to the whole body, including to the digestion, elimination, and function of the legs and everything. So these can all be compromised when our nerve flow is compromised by improper posture. In this case, too much curve in the low back. That'd be the belly in front of the pelvic bowl, that salad bowl is tilted down and the belly kind of spills out, like spaghetti spilling out of a bowl. So the belly's not, the intestines are not supported, they just want to spill out. So in this number 4 point on our checklist, we hold the pelvis level, meaning we lift up the front of the pelvis with our belly muscle. That means lift it up toward the sky, but do not lift, you know, suck in the belly and aim, you know, toward your spine, because that would inhibit your breath. So instead, we're lifting with the belly muscle that goes up toward the sky, up toward the ceiling if you're in a house. And what we're talking about now, this muscle has a name called the rectus abdominis. And this looks like the six-pack in bodybuilders. That muscle does not wrap around front to back, so it can't suck your belly in toward your spine. This muscle only runs from your pubic bone up to your lower ribs. And it has actually 8 sections, you know, well, 4 sections on each side. And I look at it as like an extension ladder that can shorten the length of these sections, and thereby, if your ribs are stable and these sections shorten, then it lifts the pubic bone up toward the ceiling, therefore bringing that salad bowl and the pelvic bowl level again. So that supports your innards, and your guts and your intestines are supported in the bowl. And you know, in body-mind, you feel secure and self-supported. Lots of people who don't lift with the front of their front of their pelvis with their rectus abdominis muscle and have too much curve in the low back, these people, if you ask, they have a subconscious desire to be taken care of. They have not yet exercised their own self-support system in their body. Remember, what we do in our body affects our body-mind. So this is very important to have the pelvis be level. It brings a feeling of self-support, like I can take care of myself. I don't have to look for it outside of me. Sure, we can give to each other, but I'm not going to fall apart if it's up to me, because I know how to support myself. So what we learn in our body follows into our life, into our body-mind. How much do you lift the pelvis now? You know, you can overdo it too. So what's just right? Here's a way to measure it. You go to a wall, stand along the wall, put your heels a foot to foot and a half out from the wall, depending on your height. If you're shorter, you have your heels a foot away from the wall. If you're taller, have your heels a foot and a half away from the wall. Now, lean against the wall. Feel your hips and your back and your head. Touch the wall. Hopefully your head can touch the wall. Once in a while, people's head can't. But we'll work with that in a minute. Right now, we're focusing on the pelvis. The pelvis, lift again with that rectus abdominis muscle that connects the front of your pubic bone up to your ribs. Lift that up toward the ceiling until your low back is flush against the wall. And you cannot put your hand between your low back and the wall. That is a level pelvis. We don't want to totally, when our feet are under us, we want to have curve in the low back to be a shock absorber for the lumbar vertebrae. But in this case, when our feet are out away from the wall a foot or a foot and a half, then we want that low back to be flat against the wall. And that, feel what that feels like, because that's your level pelvis. That's the Tai Chi model of a level pelvis. And now you'll find in this position, you can breathe into your belly the best. There's more expansion room for your belly in this position then if you step away from the wall and have too much curve in your low back and let the front of your pelvis drop down, try that. Try dropping the front of your pelvis down. Now try breathing into your belly. There's not as much room, is there? Because the belly's already kind of stretched taut from being dropped down in the front too much. So that inhibits the breath. Another thing that inhibits the breath is if you lift too much with your rectus abdominis. You know, you're crunching into your belly in that case and holding the muscle tension in. You can't breathe into your belly that way either. So what I found is that level pelvis, where you go back to the wall, have your heels a foot or a foot and a half away from the wall, and then lift with the rectus abdominis in the front toward the ceiling until your low back is flat against the wall. That is your level pelvis, and that will have the most room for your breath. And why is the breath important? Because that grounds us in our low belly. The low belly and body mind is for grounding. And breathing into the chest is about passion and love and creativity. And if we get too much of that, we may long for grounding. Then we've got to learn to breathe into our belly as well. Breathing into both the low belly and the chest is good and healthy because we need both of those centers. There are three main centers in body-mind. One is in the body, which is the site of the second chakra that we talked about, floats in the pelvis 3 inches below the belly button, and that would be our body center, which science also says is a center of gravity in the human body. So we have this center, which correlates with our body. We have another center in the heart center, and this is about love, passion, creativity, passion for life. If we breathe here, we feel a lot of passion, energy, and emotion. This is the emotional center. Some people call it the male center because it involves work and relations and connected with the, you know, involving the world and the outer world. Whereas the first center, our body, is also called the female center because it connects with getting our needs met, eating, and that's where we digest and receive our food, and we intake food and nutrients here in our belly. So it said that this center is our physical center, our female center. The heart center is our male center or emotional center for passion. If we have too much passion in our life and not enough groundedness and stability, we may be just breathing into our chest and not into our belly too. So this teaches us to breathe into our belly in these exercises. Outside, Tai Chi always breathes into your low belly, your second chakra, the center, what we call the center, the one in your belly. And regular, you know, in everyday life, it's good to breathe in both centers. You got to have the groundedness and the passion, too, and the creativity, which is in the heart. But in Tai Chi practice, we're really focusing a lot on the grounding principles, the female principle, Mother Earth. So we're going to focus on breathing just into the belly for these exercises in the horse stance and in Tai Chi. So those are the two centers that we're looking at here. Mostly we're breathing. We're focusing on the pelvis in these exercises. There's a third center, too, and that's in the head or the intellect. And so, really, in life, we need all three centers, don't we? We need our common sense and to listen to our heart and to be grounded in our body, which is also about intuition, lies in the belly, not in the head. You know, it's your gut-level feeling, how you feel about things. Your gut, what your guts are telling you about something, that's in your belly, that's intuition. So we need all three of these on board, and Tai Chi connects all three. That's the beauty of Tai Chi, and the horse dance does too. So, we're back to our 9-point checklist for the horse stance. Number one was the feet apart, 2 feet apart, being straight ahead. Number one was the feet 2 foot lengths apart. Number two, the feet straight ahead. Number three, the knees over the toes. That means as far forward as wide of the toes. Number four, five, and six of our 9-point checklist involve the pelvis. So guess what? What we did on the wall, that's number four, having the pelvis be level. So step away from the wall and remember how that felt to lift with your rectus abdominis until your pelvis became level to where it was a flat back with your knees bent. You could have the back flat or vertical. And so lift with your rectus abdominis now so that your pelvis becomes level. Second, relax the floor of your pelvis like we discussed with the elevator going all the way down to the basement. Drop it down there now. So that's number 5 point of our checklist. Drop the floor of your pelvis. And number 6, breathe into your low belly. Bypass your chest in these, just for these exercises, and practice grounding by breathing into just your low belly. That means if you put your hand over your low belly, that when you inhale, it's like blowing up a little balloon behind your hand. When you exhale, the balloon deflates. When you inhale, the balloon blows up. If you do the opposite, where you inhale and your belly goes in and your chest goes out, we call that reverse breathing. And I'd like you to try the other way. Bypass your chest and let the breath go into your belly, and that it inhales when you, that it expands as you inhale. If you can't do this standing, try it lying down. Everybody can do it lying down. Everybody who can't do it standing up can do it lying down. So try lying on a carpet or bed. Bend your knees so your belly's nice and relaxed. Put your hand on your tummy and breathe into your hand. That's your low belly. Put your hand on your low belly and breathe into your hand. But when you inhale, your hand goes up. And when you exhale, your hand floats down because breath went out. Do that several times so that you can feel what it feels like to have your low belly expand when you inhale. You can pause this tape if you want to try that a few times. When you have it, stand up in the horse stance and do the same thing. If you lose it, go back and lay down again. 5 times lying down, then get up and try it again in the horse stance. And keep going back and forth. Usually, it doesn't take too long, and people can transfer the lying down feeling to the standing up one. So, we just did numbers 4, 5, and 6, which are all about the pelvis and the belly. Number 4 was lift with your rectus abdominis till your pelvis is level. Number 5 is relax the floor of your pelvis. Completely drop those sphincter muscles. Go down to the basement in your elevator. And number 6 is breathe into your low belly. So when you inhale, your low belly expands like there's a balloon in there. Okay, we just did the checkpoints for the pelvis and belly. We're going to move on to the last 3 of our 9 points, and that's the head and back. So we want our upper back straight, our head level, and our head back over our shoulders. Those are the last 3 points. So those are points number 7, 8, and 9. Pretty simple. The way you can tell if your upper back is straight, or the way you can feel it, train it to be straight, go back to the wall again. Lean against it with your hips and your whole body and your head. Move your heels 1 to 1.5 feet away from the wall again. Lift with your rectus abdominis till your pelvis is level, and flush your back. Low back is flat against the wall. So now you have your low back organized, and your hips are touching the wall, and your shoulders are touching the wall. Now, lastly, your head. Let your head touch the wall. For some of you, it'll be easy. For some, the only way you can try and get your head back there is if you tilt your head back and look up. But don't do that, because that still crunches the bottom of the skull. We'll call the occiput back by the neck, and we don't want that. Compromises the nerve flow coming out underneath the skull to the rest of your body. So don't tilt your head up. Just bring your, keeping your head level. That's more important than having it touch the walls. Have it level. But keep your head level and just aim your head back toward the wall. What that does is feel like it kind of strengthens the front of your throat, and it stretches open the back of the neck just under your skull, under your occiput. That's what we want. Because most of us, our head is too far forward. You know, if we look at, if you do posture charts of people, or just observe people around you, or look at your own posture, you can see that most of the time, our heads are far forward over our shoulders. You know, maybe that's from computer. For kids, they used to call it Nintendo neck. But now it's computers. It can also, you know, just be habit or slumping on the top of the upper back. So we want to bring our head back over our shoulders again, because then the body-mind terms, we got our head on straight, we're level-headed in life, you know, we got our head connected with our heart, because in body-mind, when the head is far forward of the heart, that's leading with the intellect. We've left the heart behind. And often people who stand like this and have the posture, the body-mind correlation that they experience is that they can't, the head's not talking to the heart. They're in separate worlds. There might even be a conflict between the two. You know, what I think I should do and what my heart wants to do. So, ideally, and in Tai Chi and in the horse stance, that's why we align the head, heart, and body. When you stand along that wall, you can feel those align. They come into alignment with each other because we need all three. We need our common sense, we need to follow our heart, and we need to also listen to our intuition. God made all of these parts of us, and they're meant to work together as a team. Nobody, none of them dominating the others. But Chinese says Western man lives in his head alone. He lives from his neck up. In other words, we're pretty stuck on the intellect, and we forget about our heart and our body. Isn't that true for most of us? Forget about our emotions and our body. We don't take good care of them. We don't listen to our heart. We don't listen to our emotions to let them cue us into what we're needing in life. And by the way, the message for what we're needing is in our gut. You know, down there, that's where we know what we need. But sometimes our heart can tell us when something's missing. We can listen to that. We can go to our belly to ask what's needed here. That's the body-mind of being practical and grounded, knowing and doing what's needed in the moment. So, back to the wall. Standing against the wall. All these three centers are aligned now. Head, heart, hips, head, heart, body. The back is straight. Again, your head should be level and aimed back toward the wall. If you can't get it to touch the wall, some people stop short like a half an inch or so. That's okay in time. The back of the occiput and the neck will stretch open and be able to touch, get closer to the wall than it is now. So we stand against the wall and we have aligned our head, heart, and body. Feel how the three align. Feel what that feels like to have all three lined up. Now place one heel under you and push off with that heel so that you can move away from the wall and walk around a little bit, but try to maintain that three-point balance of head, shoulders, and hips all being aligned. See if you can step away from the wall or even walk around a little bit and still feel like the wall is still imprinted. You've imprinted a memory of how the wall feels, how it feels to be aligned with the wall. Then go back to it and see if you maintained that balance of that alignment of head, shoulders, and hips. Some people, they go back and their hips touch the wall first and then the rest of them. But see if you can feel the wall, imprint it, then move away from the wall and still back, you know, still imagine that you feel the wall teaching you how to be aligned. This is important because when we go to the horse stance, this is the alignment that you want to maintain in the horse stance. So if you go back to the horse stance, stand with, you know, your feet 2 foot lengths apart, the outsides of your feet straight ahead, your knees over your toes, both forward and wide. And then you lift with your rectus abdominis so your pelvis is level, and you relax the floor of your pelvis, and you breathe into your low belly. You're now, the rest of the checklist, the last three, is that your back would be straight. If you happen to be standing near a full length mirror, and the full length mirror would be to the side of you. See if you can glance into that full length mirror and look at your back, or have a friend again stand over there and spot you, check you. Is your back vertical? Is there any slumping in the upper back? There is for many of us, and that can bring your head forward too. So straighten up your upper back and ask your friend to check you. Is my back straight? Now keep your head level. Now bring your head back over your shoulders. The head is often forward because the upper back is curved and the head is out there, sticking out in space. So straighten your upper back, and while you keep your head level, bring your head back over your shoulders. Those are the last 3 points. straight back, level head, and then bring your back and your head over your shoulders. And again, ask your friend or a mirror to check you and give you feedback. Is your back straight? You can also use the wall again to give yourself feedback and imprint that. Now the back again should be straight. Many people will lean back, believe it or not. And they'll think they're vertical. But again, the mirror or your friend can teach you. And correct your posture till you are vertical. For the people who have a tendency to lean back, they feel like they're going to fall forward. But imprint that till you learn how to be straight in life, you know, straight on in life. When we lean back, we're almost withdrawing our heart and, you know, withdrawing from life. So this teaches us to be straightforward and vertical and stable. And the head gets to be level. When we do that wall exercise, we're actually strengthening the muscles in the front of the neck and opening up the ones in the back. That will bring our head more over our shoulders. There is a little exercise, I'll just segue for a minute. If you want to experience strengthening the front of your neck, you can go back to the wall, lean against the wall, your feet, your heels again, a foot to foot, half out from the wall. And so you stand along the wall, your head touches the wall if it can. Now, in this exercise, it strengthens the front of the neck. In this exercise, let your head remain on the wall, but push your hips away so that you become like a straight line from your head to your heels, and only your skull is touching the wall, not your shoulders, not your hips. And if you stand this way for a minute or so, you will be strengthening the front of your throat, of your neck. And then if you step away from the wall, you might find that, whoa, my head goes back over my shoulders more than it used to. That's because the front of the neck is strengthened, and that's the muscles that do it. So that's a little segue exercise. We just covered the 9 points of the horse stance. Remember what they were? Number 1, feet 2 foot lengths apart. Number 2, outsides of the feet straight ahead, as if there were 2 parallel rulers on each side of your feet. Number 3, your knees are over your toes, both forward, as far forward as your toes, and as wide as your toes. Opens up the floor of the pelvis. Number 4, organize your pelvis. Bring it to level by lifting with the rectus abdominis until that pelvic bowl is level and supporting your intestines. Number 5, relax the floor of your pelvis. Have it drop down to the basement. Relax those sphincter muscles, because we don't want to be a tight ass. Body mind. Number 6, breathe into our low belly. When you inhale, your low belly goes out. You can put your hand there to feel that. Number 7 involves the neck. The next 3, the last 3, involve the neck and the back. Number 7, your back, upper back is straight. Number 8, your head is level. Number 9, your head is brought back over your shoulders. You got it. 9 points for the horse stance. You can stand like this for a minute or several minutes. Some people like to work up to 10 or even 20 minutes a day. It could be all at one time, or it could be broken up. This is all about grounding and breathing. You will feel calm, capable, centered, strengthened, organized, and it will affect your life. I know one mother sent her son to martial arts classes, and she said that it changed his whole life. He became capable, efficient, effective, organized in his life. He could manifest what he wanted to into his life and into the physical. It grounded him. It brought out his best. It brought out his capabilities. So that was another form of martial arts, but I'll always remember her story, what a big difference it made in her son's life. The horse stance can too, because you know why? It contains all the principles of Tai Chi, all wrapped up in here. And all the principles of Qigong, the energy exercise. This is the heart of it. You could spend a lot of money and time, you know, training and years of training, but this is the most powerful core secret of any of it. If you do this, you will have 99% of it right here. This is what generates all the other, you know, success in the martial arts. So you have the secrets right here. It's very powerful. There is a book called The Weight of Energy. And it's a fireside book. I believe the author is Master Lam Chin, or Chin Lam, L-A-M. But it's called The Way of Energy. And it has these exercises and a number of other ones. It's a very beautiful, poetic book, easy to follow. You can work at it on your own, or a little support work, a class to do it together. You can listen to this tape. You can get that book. The book recommends going at it very gently, and it involves taking you step by step over time to some very gentle, beautiful movements, and even involves the arm movements and positions. Please turn this tape over. Welcome to part two of your instructional tape for the horse stance. The first part of this is going to begin with a review of the horse stance from the other side, our 9-point checklist. So see if you remember what the 9 points are. Remember, there's 3 connected with the feet and low legs, 3 connected with the pelvis and belly, and 3 connected with the head and shoulders and back. So the 3 connected with the feet is that your feet are 2 foot lengths apart. Second, the outsides of your feet are straight ahead. Third, that your knees are forward and over your toes. So we have feet, the ankles of the feet, and the knees. The next 3 checkpoints are about the pelvis and the belly. And so they are that the pelvis is level, that the floor of your pelvis is relaxed, and you're breathing into your low belly. Those 3, pelvis level, relaxed floor pelvis, and breathe into your low belly. And the last 3 points on our 9-point checklist involves the head and shoulders and back. So the 3 are that your back is straight, that your head is level, and that your head is brought back over your shoulders. Those are the 9 points. And in some systems, like in the book The Way of Energy, you'll see that you can follow exercises to lift your arms in different positions. But for this one, your arms, you know, just to keep it simple and as an introductory, your arms can just remain relaxed and, you know, simply passive and hanging down. And so you can stand in this position, relaxing the floor of the pelvis and breathing into your low belly, your back straight, and all those 9-point checklists. And then just relax and breathe and be. And you can feel the chi. You might be able to feel the connection with the earth and with your breath calming you. You might feel kind of a suffused energy being generated. And this is a principle called, in Tai Chi, it's called Sung, S-U-N-G. And this means vitalized relaxation. It's neither, you know, a hyper-fast energy, nor is it lethargy type of relaxation. It's a balance or an integration of the two. Vitalized relaxation. So that's actually a teaching of a way to live. That can be our goal of how we want to go through life. You can stand until your knees or your legs get tired. Then you can straighten your legs a little bit and then go back bending them again. Or you can sit down or walk around and just take a break, or, you know, do it even a few times a day, a minute or so at a time, to get used to it. But it's fine to take a break. This, doing the horse stance, might even start generating some heat. Or the chi might feel like the heat, or the chi might feel like even a little bit of a shaking. And that is the energy, usually that's the chi or the energy clearing out any holding patterns or blockages in our thighs. And this is good because thighs in the body-mind psychology is our personal capacity for strength and self-sufficiency. So if we have any blockages like that, then it might create a little bit of a shaking or trembling or heat, or not. Either way, whatever you experience is okay for you. But if this clearing does occur in your thighs, you might feel hot or a little shaky or something, then you can know that you are increasing your personal capacity for strength in your body-mind, in your body and in your body-mind. This horse stance, or standing like a tree, has also been called a type of standing meditation. I like doing it in nature and among trees because I imagine that I am a tree, even though this stance looks like you're riding a horse and your legs are open as though, you know, they call it horse riding as well in the Chinese language. The analogy to standing like a tree, I like that as well because, you know, my legs are connecting with Mother Earth like a tree's roots do. And I imagine myself sometimes that my legs are the roots and my trunk is like the trunk of a tree. And that I'm rooting and grounding securely in Mother Earth. The earth gives trees food and stability. That's the two things that their roots interacting with the earth give a tree. And it can do the same for us. Standing in a secure, stable stance with that tripod balance of the feet, lowering the center of gravity closer to the earth, like they do in martial arts, helps us feel stable and connected with the earth and grounded, which is what a tree gets from putting its roots in Mother Earth. But it also gets food. The tree gets food and water from Mother Earth through its roots. And even though, we do too, even though we don't have physical roots that sink into the earth, we have energetic ones that definitely do and relate to Mother Earth and respond to gravity. And that's how we can move around on the earth, is because gravity. If we didn't have gravity, we couldn't have anything pushing us to move forward in life. So it gives us that stability and sureness. Yeah, I'm always going to be stuck to the earth. You know, I don't wonder where the earth is. It's right here under my feet. But energetically, it also feeds us with its electromagnetic energy. And indirectly, it feeds us not through our roots, but through plants that get it directly from Mother Earth and from animals that eat those plants to get it from Mother Earth. So energetically, we stand in the horse stance and can receive nourishment from the energy of Mother Earth. Now I'd like to go into the three simple exercise warm-ups that you can use your horse stance to do. Tai Chi is, you know, Qigong is the standing, or one form of it is the standing still in this horse stance. It's the energy exercise, generates energy. It's just standing still, which the Chinese say is the most powerful of all. But you can also combine a little bit of movement with that. Once you get the horse stance down and get that core exercise, you can add a little bit of movement to it. In fact, Tai Chi is all about movement. It's taking these principles and adding movement to it. Tai Chi is often called moving meditation or swimming through air. And if you've ever seen people do Tai Chi, it's very graceful and beautiful. It's continuous and smooth and slow. And it feels so good, like you are swimming through air or moving through a swimming pool. You can just feel the chi around you, lifting you, and you're dancing with it, moving with it. These little warm-ups that I'm leading into are actually warm-ups for Tai Chi. Again, they contain all the principles. The first warm-up is very simple. It's just standing in the horse stance, as we did before, that 9-point checklist. And simply shifting your weight from one leg to another very slowly. So the horse stance, as we've done it so far, has us balanced on our right and left legs. This first warm-up starts with the movement and includes shifting from one leg to the other. You might think that that is like so simple, but it's very powerful because it strengthens each leg in turn. It gives the opportunity for that leg to become even more strengthened. But you should only do these after you've done the basic horse stance for a while, maybe building up to a total of 10 minutes a day. And then begin to try this exercise of shifting your weight. But if you do it gently, you could do these exercises sooner than when you've achieved 10 minutes a day. You could probably do it after, you know, just 5 minutes a day. You could do, if you do these exercises very gently. And of course, always stop when you're tired or when your legs feel like they need to recharge. So this first warm-up, it's shifting your weight. As you're standing in the horse stance, weight distributed equally, you could shift Slowly shift all your weight onto your left leg. Right leg is still touching the ground, but it's empty, what we call empty. Your left leg is what we call full. And so you feel the chi almost all and the weight pour into this left leg. And when that becomes tired, then you slowly stay low. You're still staying low. Your knees are still bent as far forward as your toes. You can slowly shift your weight onto your right leg. Now your right leg is full and your left leg is empty. The rest of your body still maintains the same posture, horse stance, level pelvis, relaxed floor of the pelvis, straight back, head level, and head back over your over your shoulders. Same principles, it's just that your weight's more on one leg. When the right leg becomes tired, you can shift your weight again onto the left. You can see how this gives each leg an opportunity to become stronger under you. And you feel capable and secure in your body and in your body-mind from these exercises. Sounds simple, but it feels like it's you're really getting a workout, doesn't it? This is very wonderful for seniors because it is so gentle. But yet it's very powerful, and it would be a good workout for anybody. So, as you shift your weight from left to right legs, be sure that you stay low, that you're not straightening up or coming up in the middle and then going back down on that leg. In other words, once you stand in your horse stance, you can imagine that a ceiling comes down on your head and doesn't let you come up as you shift the weight from left to right. So you have to stay the same height all the time. This is a little mistake that some people make, is that they might pop up in the middle, and they go down on the right leg and then pop up in the middle and go down on the left leg. You can watch yourself in a mirror and make sure that your head is even, like for example with the door jamb that might be above it behind you in the background of the mirror. So you can watch yourself in a mirror, that would be the best way, or have a friend check you again. But you can check each other. So that's the only little rule, is that you shift all your weight completely, like 100%. The other one is the other leg is passive and empty. And then when you're ready, you slowly, very slowly shift to the other leg. And you stay level in between while you do it. That's it. That's the first warm-up exercise. Ready for the second one? It's very simple, too. It takes what we just practiced, and it adds one more thing. It adds a turn. So let's say that you're standing in the horse stance, weight balanced equally in between your two legs. You shift all your weight to your left leg and then turn to your left as far as you can comfortably while still maintaining all of those horse stance 9-point checklist. So your weight's on your left leg, you're turning as far as you can to the left, but check your 9 points. You make sure, is your pelvis still level? Is your floor of your pelvis relaxed? Are you breathing into your belly? Is your back still straight? Now as you turn, we want all the three centers to turn together. Your hips, shoulders, and head. Remember those three centers? Your body, your heart center, and your head. We want all those to turn in the same direction. In other words, your shoulders don't turn more than your hips do. Let your hips be the guiding, that will be the guiding factor of how far you turn. Now shift your weight back to center again between your two legs, and now shift all your weight onto your right leg. And as you do that, after you do that, turn your pelvis, turn your hips to face as far to the right as you can. Your pelvis, your hips, don't turn any farther than that with your shoulders. Have them all be together. In fact, here's a way to test that. You can go back again into your horse stance, shift your weight equally between your two legs. Now standing in this posture, without shifting your weight, turn your body, you turn your trunk to the right. In other words, turn your pelvis as far as you can to the right diagonal. Usually it's a 45-degree diagonal. And let your shoulders and head follow. let your pelvis always lead. And then the shoulders and hips just go with it as one unit, but they will not turn farther than the pelvis can. Go back to facing center again. And now turn to face the left diagonal, the left 45 degree diagonal. Most of us can't turn farther than 45 degrees with our pelvis while we are having our pelvis level, floor of the pelvis relaxed, breathing into our center, back is straight, head is level, and head is back over the shoulders. That is called your Tai Chi trunk, your head, shoulders, and your hips. So now you're now, the head, shoulders, and hips, or your whole Tai Chi trunk is now facing the left 45 degree diagonal, because it can't go any farther than your pelvis can go. Now turn back to face the center again. Now, with your weight still equally between your two legs, turn to face the right diagonal again. Your Tai Chi trunk is all one unit. Pretend you cannot turn your head farther than your shoulders go. You cannot turn your shoulders farther than your pelvis goes. They all turn as one unit. In Tai Chi, they nearly always move as one unified whole. So now you're facing the right diagonal. Your pelvis turned as far as it can, and shoulders aligned above that, head aligned above that. Now turn and face the left diagonal. Right now you can turn to face the right diagonal. Right now you're getting an experience of turning your torso and your Tai Chi trunk while you're in the horse stance with your weight still equally divided among the two legs. And just feel what that feels like to just turn, facing the left diagonal, now facing the right diagonal. Now we add the movement to it that we learned in the first exercise, the first warm-up. So stand in your horse stance, weight equally on two legs, shift all your weight to your left leg and turn to the left diagonal. Tai Chi trunk, all moving as one, hips, shoulders, and head. Now staying low, shift your weight to your right leg at the same time that you turn your pelvis to face the right diagonal. Or to keep the pelvis lifted, don't let that low back get too curvy and drop. Don't let the front of your pelvis drop down. Remember to lift with the rectus abdominis. Keep the pelvis level. Because when you breathe into your center, it goes into this waiting bowl, this waiting level bowl. And you want to contain your breath and your chi by keeping your pelvis level, not spilling it out over the front and over the top. So this is your Tai Chi trunk. Now you're on your right leg facing the right diagonal. You can see where this is moving meditation and involves a lot of focus, don't you? You know, because you're not only moving, but you're meditating, you're checking a little checklist all the time, that 9-point checklist, checking all the parts of you to align them. So that's why this also calms the mind, because it develops focus and concentration. It works. I have a lot more now than before I practiced Tai Chi. It's awesome. Okay, now we shift our weight to the left leg and turn to the left diagonal. Turning the whole Tai Chi trunk as far as you can to the left 45 degree diagonal. Shift your weight back to the center, staying low. Shift your weight to your right leg and turn to the right diagonal again. And simply repeat that. Shift to the left leg, face the left. Shift to the middle, shift to the right leg, face the right. Again, your arms can still be relaxed. Now, you can vary that a little bit. You can speed it up. When you feel like you have the basics down, when you're shifting your weight completely and staying low and keeping your pelvis level and keeping your back straight and your head level and over your shoulders and all that 9-point checklist, now you can start to speed it up a little and shift all your weight to your left leg and then your right leg and then your left leg. And what are your arms doing? If your arms are really, truly passive, then they're starting to swing a little bit out of your shoulder girdle, out of your shoulder cuff. They're just dangling and loose and relaxed, which we hope they are. Then they are starting to kind of wrap around your body each time that you make a turn and a shift direction. Imagine that your arms are as loose as wet spaghetti noodles, and that when you shift, they simply do their own thing. If you stop, they just stop and dangle. So here's another part of this exercise. Don't move your arms. Let the momentum move your arms. Let the turn of your pelvis, different direction, then the shift of the weight left and right, combine those two and you start creating a momentum, like a torque. So let the shift of your pelvis and the turn of your pelvis generate the movement of your arms. You might kind of, that can wrap around your body. So just experience that a little bit. A nice feeling of being that relaxed in your arms, they just do their thing, generated from the movement of your pelvis. Now inhale one direction and exhale the other. Doesn't matter which. But let's say you turn to the right and you exhale, and then you turn to the left and you inhale. Exhale to the right, inhale to the left. Always breathing into your center as you inhale to the left and exhaling from your center as you turn to the right. All breath in these exercises breathes into our center and breathes out from our center. All movement in Tai Chi originates from our center. Remember, their center is glutes in the middle of the pelvis, 3 inches below the belly button. It's the site of the second chakra. It's also the center of gravity in the human body. All movement originates from here. All breath goes into here and comes out of here. That's why Tai Chi is so centering, because we're always moving and breathing from our center. So we're actually meditating on our center. So just keep experiencing that. Inhale in to the, when you turn to the left. Exhale out when you turn to the right. Remember to stay level. Keep your Tai Chi trunk while turning in the same direction. And you might slip into an alpha state. It's a neat feeling, that moving meditation feeling. And you can experience this. You might like to turn the tape off here and play with this as long as you want. If you want to go on to a variation of it, here's a little variation. You shift your weight to the left leg, but you turn to the right. Then you shift your leg to the right leg and turn to the left, 45 degree diagonal. Then you shift your weight to the left and turn to the right. It's sort of like the opposite. When you do that, can you just kind of feel your ankles and knees and hip joints getting looser and more open? That's good for us, to be stable in our low bodies, be flexible, and keep all those ligaments loose and flexible. When I first started Tai Chi, I was 35, and I had sore knees for the first 2 weeks. I went to my teacher and I said, now, is this a good thing or a damaging, a building thing or a damaging thing? He said, it's a good thing, just keep on with it. But I was gentle, and it just lasted 2 weeks. If you're a little older than that, you might just, take it slow and bend your knees a little less if that they feel sore. Once in a while, I've had some students who actually have had knee surgeries and they can't always do all the flexion of the knees. So if in doubt, you can check with your doctor, but most of the time, it's good for us. It makes all the ligaments and tendons more flexible and, of course, strengthens the muscles. But if it generates pain, please don't do the exercises or moderate them or start out slower, ease your way into it very, very slowly. Especially after age 40, I think we have to be very gentle with ourselves and listen to our bodies and be very moderate, as much as we hate to admit it, because we feel young inside. But it's a fact that the body might need us to go a little more moderately than before 40. This is when a lot of injuries can happen to people as they work out in the gym or, try to do the same activities that they did before 40. I know, I'm one of those people. I sort of damaged a muscle one time thinking that, I just hadn't experienced any limitations before. So after, we want to be moderate. Another interesting thing about knees is that one Tai Chi student actually was scheduled for knee surgery and took Tai Chi instead, and then no longer needed the knee surgery. That's a happy thing. So the two warm-up exercises that we've learned so far is simply to stand in the horse stance, shift our weight left to right. The second exercise is to add turning to that, whether it's turning toward the empty leg or turning toward the full leg. Those are two variations. And remember, just to let your arms be loose noodles and spaghetti and wrap around you. passive, responding to the momentum. Third and final exercise for this tape is what I call the windshield wiper hands. That as you turn, your hands now can do something. They can really express the momentum that is generated in a bigger way. So in this exercise, let's just stand in the horse stance regularly with weight equally between the two legs. Now, in this one, let your right arm, your low arm, bend at the elbow, and let your right low arm, let your upper arm stay in place. And let the low arm rotate around the elbow. In other words, if somebody held your upper arm, just as you're standing in the regular horse stance, somebody comes up behind you, and they hold your upper arm in place, you cannot move your upper arm. But let your low arm pivot and rotate around your elbow, like your elbow is the hub of the wheel, and your hand goes around the hub, I'm sorry, the rim of the wheel. And so your elbow stays in one place, because remember, somebody's like coming up behind you and holding your elbow in place and your upper arm in place. So the elbow has to stay where it is, but the low arm can circle around that point. So let it circle as big as it can. While your elbow's held in place, let your low arm, let your hand face your thigh. Start out with your right hand. Your right hand is now facing your right thigh. And then let your hand travel across your belly. Let it face you. And now it's coming up across your chest and reaching about shoulder height. Your palm is still facing you. You just did a half circle coming up from your thigh and then up across your left tummy and chest, and now it's facing your right shoulder. Your right palm is facing your right shoulder. Now, turn that palm face down to face the ground and let your right hand float down the outside of you over there. Let your right palm float down toward the ground until your right hand is now facing your right thigh again. So it just made a big old circle, you know, from your elbow, pivoting on your elbow as the center of it. So let your hand do that, your right hand do that again. Somebody's still holding your upper right arm and elbow all locked in place. You can't move your elbow, but you can rotate around it. So right hand faces right thigh, and as it starts the left half of the circle, left hand faces you, faces your left tummy, then faces the left side of your torso and left side of your chest, and it comes up. And now your low arm is vertical and your right hand is facing your right shoulder cuff. At that point, let your right hand turn face down and let it float down out to the right of you, beyond your body, out to the right of you. It floats down, palm facing the earth, until your hand is now facing your right thigh. So repeat that circle a few times. Left comes up facing the left hand. The left half of the circle has your hand facing your body. The right half of the circle has your hand facing the ground. So you're rotating your arm, aren't you? Your right arm starts with your right hand facing your thigh, and then it does the left half of the circle, which faces you, until your right hand looks vertical if you're watching it in the mirror, and your right palm is facing your right shoulder cuff. And then you rotate your arm, your wrist, and so that your right hand faces the earth as it floats down on the right half of that circle. So left hand faces you and your body, reaches the top, the vertical point, then it turns, rotates the wrist, and floats down the right half of the circle, palm down. So left faces your body, reaches the top of the circle, turns, right half of the circle is palm down. And just repeat that again. So there you have the arm movement. Now we're going to practice that with the left hand. Same old thing. Left hand is relaxed. Imaginary person is holding your upper left arm and elbow in place. Left hand faces left thigh. Your palm is facing your thigh. Then let your left, keeping your elbow locked in place, your upper arm locked in place, let your left arm rotate around your elbow by letting your left palm face your body and let it travel up your body at the right side of your tummy and your chest until it reaches the top of the circle, which is opposite your shoulder, your left shoulder cuff. Then let your left hand rotate and turn palm down and let it float down the other half of the circle toward the, as your palm faces the earth. And then your left palm now faces your left thigh. So it's just a circle, same as the other. Let your left hand float up facing your body until your left hand is now vertical and opposite your left shoulder cuff. Turn that hand palm down, rotate it, and let it float down the left half of that circle facing the earth until your left palm now faces your left thigh. But don't stop there. Let it continue up, circle up, facing you, reaches the top of the circle, rotates, and turns palm down. Now it's in front of your thigh, it's facing you, but it continues on up. And the left half of the circle, I'm sorry, right half of the circle faces you, rotates, left half of the circle is palm down. Right half of the circle faces you, reaches the top, turns, left half of the circle is palm down. So you just continue that on. It takes a little concentration, huh? Or maybe you have it already. But you're just rotating around. Remember to check that your elbow is stable in space. Your elbow does not move in space. But your arm rotates around your elbow. Do your best to keep your elbow absolutely still, as though it were locked into a place in space beside your body. And then watch your arm go around, if you can see this in a mirror. Very good. Now, can you put both those arms together? We haven't done any weight shifting with our legs right now. We're still just standing in the horse stance forward, giving your legs a break and straightening up if you need to. But your weight still shifted equally among your two legs. Now, can you put both those hands together? It looked like kind of like alternating windshield wipers. This is what they look like to me. Only these windshield wipers are making two complete circles. But they're totally alternating. They totally take turns. So what it looks like is the right might come up in front of you facing you, and then when it reaches the top, then the left hand starts coming up in front of you, facing you, at the same time as the right hand floats down out to your right. And then they go just the opposite. As the left hand floats down to your right, I'm sorry, as your left hand floats down outside to your left, your right hand floats up facing you. When it reaches the top of the shoulder girdle, when your right hand reaches the top of its circle, opposite your right shoulder girdle, your shoulder cuff, then your left hand will be at its lowest part of the circle facing your left thigh. And then your left hand comes up facing you, and when it reaches the top of its circle facing your left shoulder cuff, your right hand is at the bottom of its circle facing your right thigh. Then your left hand floats up to the top as your left hand. Your right hand floats up to the top as your left hand floats down. And then your left hand floats up as your right hand floats down. Then your right hand floats up as your left hand floats down. So, hope this is clear. They simply alternate, taking turns coming up. When one goes up, the other one goes down. And they come to the inside of us and float down to the outside. Come up on the inside, circle, float down on the outside. So just experience both of those rotating together. And you can turn the tape off here if you want to practice for a minute. And now, guess what? We're going to add weight shift to that. One of the principles in Tai Chi is shifting the weight, the concept of empty and full. And in Tai Chi, we actually shift the weight to one leg, pick up the other one, slowly, slowly move it, shift the weight to that leg, and so on. But in this horse stance, in this exercise, we simply stand still with our feet always in the same place, shifting our weight between one leg and the other. So that those arm movements that you just did, let's start again in the horse stance. Weight shifted equally between the two legs, and begin the arm movements. Let the right hand travel up facing you, and then as it floats down to the right outside of you, let the left hand float up facing you, and so on until you get them going. Now we're going to add weight shift to this movement. So As the right hand floats up, shift your weight to your right leg and turn to your right, just like we did last exercise. As your right hand floats down to the outside, let your left hand float up at the same time as you shift your weight to your left leg and turn to that 45 degree angle to the left. And then as that left hand floats down to the earth and your right hand floats up, shift your weight to your right leg and turn to the right. In other words, right hand comes up, turn to the right and shift to the right. And then left hand comes up, turn to the left, shift to the left. Left hand comes up, turn to the right, shift to the right. As your right hand floats down, your left hand comes up, turn to the left, shift to the left. As your left hand floats down, right hand comes up, turn to the right, shift to the right. Now do this very slowly and consistently. All of Tai Chi and its warm-ups are very steady and slow. They're all the same speed, and that's where it's beautiful to watch and beautiful to feel. You're going to start feeling like it's moving you, especially when you add the breath to it. That's important. It's really the breath that breathes us and moves us. So as you shift your weight to your right leg and turn to the right and your right hand's coming up, exhale into your center, your low belly. Now, as your left hand comes up and you shift the weight to your left leg and turn to the left, inhale. And then exhale to the right. Inhale to the left. Exhale to the right. Fill up your Tai Chi bowl as you turn to the left. Empty that bowl of Chi from your center as you turn to the right. Breathe into your center as you turn to the left. Breathe out from your center as you turn to the right. In to the left and out to the right. As you do this, you might get the feeling that your breath is moving you. That as you exhale to the right and as you inhale to the left, that you start to become part of a dance. And actually, your breath is moving you. Your breath is breathing you. And that results in the movement. This is so beautiful to feel. You know, if you keep on this, you'll really reach a nice, very nice alpha state. One more principle. And that's that the turn, another principle in Tai Chi is that all movement, all breath goes into your center and out from your center. Remember floating in the middle of your pelvis? Well, another principle is that all movement comes from your center as well. So when you turn to the right, let that turn begin in your pelvis. Let the turn begin in your center. And then your Tai Chi trunk responds to that and your arms respond to that. As you turn to the left, start the movement just a microsecond ahead of the rest of your body. Let it come from your center and almost like the rest of your body follows, like your brain is down in your center. Then when you turn to the right, let the movement begin here first. Let your pelvis start turning your center, sort of lead the way and tug the way and guide the way. Then your shoulders and head align with it and follow it because the movement starts here. When you turn to the left, let your pelvis start the movement and your Tai Chi trunk joins it just a split second, you know, a microsecond behind it. But imagine your pelvis starts the train and the rest follow. Your pelvis turns to the right and then your shoulders and head go with it. Pelvis turns to the left, head and shoulders go with it. And guess what else? Your arms go with it too. Your arms can be the natural flinging that happens when you turn your center. There's actually an exercise where you can just stand in the horse stance and turn very rapidly, turn your center very rapidly to the right. What happens to your arms? They kind of flop around and swing around your body, huh? So go back to center, the weight distributed equally. Now turn your pelvis very quick to the left. Your arms just kind of swing around real fast. Now turn very quickly to the right, leading with your center. Your arms kind of flop around. If you do this quick enough, you'll find that your arms actually swing up in that windshield wiper motion, that circle, If you do it really, really fast, you'll find that your arms go into that circle from the momentum from that you've generated from your center. They do that by themselves. If they're totally passive and relaxed, and you swing your pelvis really fast to the right, then your arms go up in that natural circle that we were practicing before. And if you, you know, you're in that right diagonal, facing the right diagonal, your weight's on your right leg even, and then you shift all your weight to your left leg and turn your pelvis really, really fast, you might find that your left arm swings up in its circle, just like we were practicing before, generated from your center, the turn of the rapid turn of your pelvis. And so if you do it again to the right, and do it again to the left, then you start seeing why it's a natural block in Tai Chi to let the arms swing up when the pelvis turns just a little bit ahead of it, and the arms swing up in a natural block. And hopefully you won't ever have to use this, but if somebody were to deliver a punch to you, that would be the best way to block it, is to turn your center really quick and then let your arms swing up, and it'll knock the block out of the way. That's a very powerful block, much more powerful than if you were to reach up with your arm and try to push that oncoming hand aside, or, you know, stop it head on or anything. The block that we're talking about that you've been practicing is coming from your center turning and swinging really fast. So when your center turns and swings, the momentum is coming from the earth, from your legs shifting their weight and from your pelvis turning. So it's coming from your lower body, which is much stronger and thicker and denser than any of the muscles of your upper body. Your legs are stronger than your arms, and your legs, the thighs and hip muscles, are all stronger than any muscle in your back. So when we come from our lower body, we have more strength. And that's why they say, you know, that you should lift with your legs and not your back. And if you're going to push a car or something, you know, you bend your legs and you push from your, let your legs do it, not your arms and your back. So same thing. We are getting acquainted with our lower bodies and using that strength for stability and better flow through life. So this doing it fast stuff, that's to show you what it feels like for the movement to come from your center. I'm trying to show you how turning your pelvis quickly and shifting your weight can fling your arms up without any effort from you, because the sit center generated movement, effortless effort. But in your actual practice of the Tai Chi, in your actual moving meditation of this Tai Chi warm-up exercise, you don't need to do it fast. You could do it very slow, just still focusing and allowing the movement to come from your center. So as you turn and shift your weight to the right, let your arm float up and let yourself exhale. And then inhale, as you turn to the left, shift your weight to the left, and left arm comes up. And just continue that very slowly and rhythmically, shifting your weight from one leg to the other, turning one diagonal to the other diagonal, and alternating your arms. So what we have is shift your weight to the right, turn to the right as your right arm comes up. As your right arm floats down, shift your weight to the left leg, turn to the left diagonal, and that's as your left arm comes up. Then your left arm floats down as you do the opposite. Shift your weight to the right, turn to the right, and left hand floats up. So these are very simple Tai Chi warm-ups. I hope you enjoy them. Okay, here's one little bonus Tai Chi exercise warm-up. Remember I spoke about shifting your weight from one leg to another, but we always have our feet in the same position. Here's another one where we begin to move. In the practice of Tai Chi, and I highly encourage you to take a class, if you can find a good Tai Chi Chuan Yang style short form class in your community, I highly recommend taking it. As long as they teach the principles of lowering your center of gravity and breathing into your center and weight shift. In those classes, you'll probably be moving your legs. So if you want a little warm-up that can contain the same principles, you can stand in the horse stance, shift all your weight to your right leg until you're balanced on it. Then very slowly lift up your left leg, place it forward like you're walking forward, and then very slowly, staying low and keeping all those 9-point checklist in hand, shift your weight to your left leg. When all of it's transferred over, balance on that weight, that left leg, and actually lift up your right one and step forward with it. Heel first, and then flow into the rest of your foot. And then shift your weight onto your right leg. Once you've shifted your weight onto your right and you are balanced in it, only then lift your left one off the ground, still maintain the balance in your right leg as you step up with your left foot heel first, and then flow your whole weight into your whole foot. And when all of that is transferred in to where you can lift up your left foot with still being stable on your left leg, only then move your right foot and place it down ahead of you heel first and repeat. This is sort of a Tai Chi walk. Remember to stay low the whole time without popping up in between. A lot of people will pop up, you know, as they go from shifting their weight from one leg to the other. But if you can watch yourself in a mirror or have a friend spot you, remember to stay low as though a ceiling came down on your head and you cannot go any higher than that ceiling as you walk from one leg to another. This will increase the subtle balance and benefits of Tai Chi if you maintain that same low height. And so as you shift the weight from one leg to another, and as you step forward with your empty foot, remember to stay low. It's when people shift the weight and they lift up the other foot, a lot of times they'll come up. So remember to stay low to increase the benefits and the subtle balancing in the body that this Tai Chi exercise will give you. I invite you to check out more body-mind practices on my website, www.bessmccarty.com, BessMccarty.
I hope you enjoyed this recording. It was brought to you by BessMccarty.com, coaching you to a better life.